I'd ask you to turn with me now to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 25, we have the narrative of Jacob and Esau, primarily is what I want to point your minds toward. There's some history there on their birth and the trouble that these two had even before they were born. Would just manifest itself through what we'll read together here this morning. In Genesis 25, verse 29, we'll begin reading verse number 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Last week, as we gathered together, we studied some about heaven. It is my desire and prayer that during this week, and sometime during this week, your mind went back and reflected some on that message and gave some thought to that blessed place called heaven, to which all of God's children shall go. And I love to preach messages that encourage and that excite us and stir us up and make us think a little bit about that future place and that future time that is there and that is real and certain for all of us who trust in Christ. But to be faithful to God's Word, we also sometimes look at messages that not only exhort, but that may rebuke or that may encourage. And it is my thought this morning that we think a little bit about Esau selling his birthright for a bowl of beans. Amen. And this morning I have this simple thought, all for a bowl of beans. In 1920, the Boston Red Sox traded Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees for $100,000. At that time, it was unheard of to spend that amount of money on any player. However, as you know, Ruth went on to become one of the most prolific players in the history of baseball. And what at that time seemed to be a smart move by Red Sox management turned out to be one of, if not the, single worst trades in the history of sports. And while that story may speak to our heart, for any of you in particular that are baseball fans, like I am and as I was growing up, yet I find in our text the story of a man who made the worst trade anyone could ever conceive of. He exchanged material wealth, and more importantly, his spiritual birthright for a bowl of beans. And I'd have us to just stop and think about this story this morning. Jacob and Esau, these two twin brothers. Esau the eldest, Jacob the youngest, but though they were twins, these two men, listen to me, they were so far apart, they were so different. Esau was a man's man. He loved to get out in the woods and he'd go deer hunting and he was a rough and tough man. He'd go out and I well imagine him going out and killing those big old deer. And he'd come home, cook venison, and cook deer for his dad, and his dad just loved it. And Jacob, well, Jacob was just a little bit more of a mama's boy. He stayed at home and spent a little more time in the kitchen, and he learned how to cook. He didn't get out and go and do like his elder brother did. And one day we find that Esau was returning from the field. Well, I don't know if he was out hunting. I don't know if he'd been out running. I don't know what he had been out doing, but he comes back in from the field and Esau is He is famished. He's hungry. He's tired. His own words is that he feels as though he is at the point of death. And Jacob, and if you don't know this, I know Jacob's one of those old patriarchs. But Jacob was a deceitful man. And rather than showing kindness to his brother, he takes advantage of the situation. The name Jacob means deceiver. Amen. And he took his brother, who was in this terrible plight. He was hungry, he was famished, he was tired. And Jacob says to him, "Listen, I'll be happy to get you something to eat if you'll trade it away for your birthright." And my dear friends, we don't think a whole lot as we sit up here in modern America in 2014. That seems so far removed from us, a birthright. And what that meant for him to give away, but I can tell you, I can never tell you the importance of what this was. I can't emphasize to you what a terrible, terrible exchange that this was. Jacob, rather than showing kindness, isn't that the right thing to do, the Christian thing to do when somebody's in need and all they're asking for is a little something to eat, that you try to help them with that? But Jacob took advantage of the situation and told his brother, I'll be happy to give you some bowl of lentils, this red pottage. And that's what the word Edom means. Edom means red. I'll be happy to give you some of this if you'll trade it all for your birthright. And Esau, what a shame, gave up his birthright for a bowl of beans. Let's ask then, what was this birthright? Well, first, I'll tell you this, it was something irreplaceable that he gave up just for a paltry thing. He had a material inheritance. As the eldest son, Esau was entitled to a double inheritance. Let me see if I can help you maybe reach out and lay a hold of this. He was entitled to double the inheritance that all the other sons were entitled to. If there were an example, if there were four sons, rather than splitting that inheritance four ways, they would split it five ways, and the eldest son would get twice what the rest of them got. Now, you know as well as I do, Abraham was a man of wealth. Amen. And obviously he extended some of that wealth to Isaac. Now Isaac's in a position to extend some of that same wealth to his sons, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was entitled to a double portion, and he would give away that double portion, that inheritance, for a bowl of beans. And we're not told, and the Bible doesn't specifically tell us, any dollar amount that was sacrificed or anything that was given up. But I think that we can safely say that it was a poor, poor trade. I don't know how much he lost in this, but it was of terrible significance. And not only is this a material inheritance that he gave up in his birthright, but I think more than that, and far more important was that, was the spiritual inheritance that he gave up. It was a great honor to be considered the eldest son. It was a great honor. It's a different society in which we live. It just is. But at that time, it was a great honor. And it was a duty and it was a privilege. But it was a responsibility also to be the eldest son. And on that eldest son, there was a lot of responsibility. And that is in part of the reason why he was to get that double portion. He had been, or should have been, aware of, and I'm sure that his father taught him, that God had spoken to his grandfather Abraham and made a promise. And that God had spoken to him Isaac and made a promise. And now that same covenantal promise was going to be carried on through his sons, and as Esau as the eldest, that promise was to go through him and through his lineage. In other words, when God spoke to Abraham and said to Abraham, "Get up and leave the land and go into the place that I tell thee," and God spoke to Abraham and said to Abraham, "I'll bless them that bless thee and I'll curse them that curse thee." God told Abraham, "You just take off walking and everywhere where you put your foot down, that's going to be yours one day. That's going to belong to your children after you one day." And that promise went from Abraham to Isaac. It should have been Esau. How many times do you read in the Bible the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Esau? No, you don't read that. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why? Because Esau sold that right. He gave that right away. He was in the line to be one of those great patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and it should have been Esau, but it wasn't. He gave that away. He sold it for a bowl of beans. We can't even begin to imagine the honor that it would have been to have been in on the line or the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than Christ coming through the line of the eldest son, Esau, Christ would rather come through the lineage of Jacob. So he lost a lot of material wealth, and he lost a lot of a material blessing. But more importantly than that, think about the spiritual blessing that he gave up. To walk away from, to give up or exchange the spiritual blessing of being a forefather of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what? For what? A bowl of beans? We read time and time again. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I looked it up and read, there's some 40 times that you read Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. But you'll never read Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Esau rather becomes the father of the Edomites, an ungodly people. And they become really servants of servitude and will fall out of existence for a bowl of beans. We see in verse number 34 that he traded this, that he gave this. Thus, the close of verse 34, thus Esau despised his birthright. How did he despise it? He despised it by not valuing its great importance, by not seeing what it was worth. Esau couldn't reach out and put his hands on that double portion. He couldn't reach out and touch that spiritual blessing. He was short-sighted. I don't know how else to say it. He was in a place where he's hungry. And in his mind, you know, I'm not going to live long enough to enjoy all this, so I might as well give it up anyway. That was his justification for it. But he was looking at a promise that was afar off. That promise that was made to Abraham and that was made to Isaac and should have been made to him if he had been a man of God and a man of righteousness. That promise, that wasn't right then and there, but it was for a little while later. It was going to require the death of his father before he could inherit that double blessing. It was going to be a long way down the road before the Messiah would come. And he could not, by faith, look forward to that and see the value of it so that he would never trade it away, no, not for anything. He didn't want to have to wait for his father's death to enjoy some good things. He wanted to be satisfied right then and there. Not knowing when that material or spiritual blessing may come, not knowing how far away it was, he gave it away. He traded it away. By his own estimation, those blessings were as far out of touch as the moon. And that spiritual inheritance, it meant little or nothing to him. It was insignificant to him. In fact, Hebrews 12, when he talks about it, it says that lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Hebrews 12:16, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The Hebrew writer calls him a profane person. But he had profaned that great blessing. He had profaned his birthright by giving it away for something so small. To him, that covenant was something like a fairy tale. That was made a long time before he was ever around. What God spoke to Abraham and what God spoke to Isaac, well, that predated him. Why should I sit here and go without what I want right now just in case something may happen later? Why would I deny myself of this present pleasure when what is out there may or may not come? That is how he thought. That which was to belong to him, that which was his inheritance, this of great value, was all sold for a bowl of beans. Adam and Eve sold their birthright for one bite of forbidden fruit, for a moment's pleasure, for a temporal joy. David gave up the birthright of the blessing of his kingdom all for a night's pleasure. My dear friends, what I want us to see in that is we too sometimes act like Esau. Now, Esau was a reprobate. But sometimes we act like him by trading our birthright for a paltry bowl of beans. We too, dear friends, have been promised a divine inheritance. A covenant was made by God that extends to us from the father of our faith, Abraham. And although that promise may be afar off, and though it may be slightly where we don't know when for sure it's going to happen, it's certain and it's sure. We have a divine inheritance. We may not be given the double portion, for that double portion belongs to our older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. That belongs unto him, but we have an inheritance. We are to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We have been called upon to dwell in the land that flows with milk and honey. I don't know why it is that we think that we are supposed to live a defeated and weak Christian life. That is not our calling. We are to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. Our great God has not called us to live in misery and suffering. And while it is true we each one in turn face battles and face strife in our hearts and illness in our bodies, yet we can be living in the land of Canaan right now, spiritually. We can be feasting on the good things of God right now. God made us a covenant. God made us a promise that He'll go with us and He'll be with us and He'll provide for us. We too have a material inheritance. God never promised great wealth to His children. He never promised prosperity and material things. Yet God is still awfully good to us, isn't He?
Yeah.
I guess I don't preach to any millionaires today, but I'll tell you something, and don't get all wound up. But I'm not preaching to any poor people either. You put yourself up against Bill Gates, you might be poor, but you put yourself up against the majority of the people on this planet, you're rich. You got in a car and drove here or were ridden here today, you're rich compared to the majority of the people on this planet. God's been so good to us. We get a little bit like maybe Esau was, and we get accustomed to just having everything the way we want it. You know, things must have been pretty good around that house. He was, you know, Daddy's favorite. And then when he was hurting or struggling, you think Mom and Daddy was going to let him go hungry? I mean, do you really think they weren't going to let him go hungry? Weren't going to let him do without? They would have provided for him, but no, he wanted something right that second to satisfy himself. Boy, now we start to sound like us a little bit. Maybe that's a little bit how we are. We want what we want when we want it. We're not willing to wait on it. Esau, you know, look at what you got coming. Esau, no, I can't wait. I got to have something right now. See, we live in a society of immediate gratification. We live in a society, our nation, this country, where I want what I want and I want it right now. And there is a sense of entitlement within all of us that is ungodly. And that's just exactly what, that's just the way Esau was. Esau, you've got, look what you've got ahead of you. It don't matter, I want something right now. Look at the promise that is yours. As the son of Isaac, look what will be yours. It doesn't matter, I want this right now, and I'll give away everything else for what I want right now. Didn't make any sense. Not a very wise decision, but that's the decision he made. And it's a lot of times the same decision we make. We have the right to a life of peace and contentment, fulfillment, and godly satisfaction, a life of Christian family and Christian comfort. This is our birthright by the new birth. Yet we trade it all away for a paltry bowl of beans. You say, well, how do we do that? Is it possible that we too will despise our birthright, despise our inheritance? Oh, yes, dear friends. When we tell God, I'm not willing to wait, but I want it right now, we act like Esau. I'll just give you an example. I'm just pulling an example out of the sky. I don't know if it applies to anybody or not. I'm just pulling it out of the sky. I can say it because I lived it. How's that? We sell our birthright. The freedom. The promise and prosperity of God's blessing on our life. If we will wait on Him, we sell that for some immediate gratification. Satisfy me and what I want right now. A lot of times that we sort of act like Esau. If I don't get what I want, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to die if I don't get what I want. Don't we accuse children of behaving that way? And a lot of times they do act, they do conduct themselves that way. And financially, men and women sell the prosperity and promises of God for an immediate satisfaction. They bury themselves in debt. Don't we live in a debted society? We'll never live long enough to pay our national debt. You see something, you say, I want that, and you're not willing to wait for it because you don't have to, because we have these things called credit cards. And credit cards means I can get what I want right now and pay for it for the next 97 years. That's what credit cards mean. And then usually before things ever paid off, it's broke, wore out, or we're unsatisfied with it and we want something else. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things. The problem with that is what happens. A lot of people get buried in debt and then they want to turn around and rob God and not support God and God's Word and God's house because they've got a mountain of debt on top of them. I've lived that way. You know, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you on that. I've lived that way. Gotta have it. Gotta have it right now. This momentary pleasure, I've got to have it or I'm just going to die if I don't get it. Now, what did it cost? Look at what it cost. The battles in homes and the battles of death and pressure of families. I lived it. I know the stress that it places on us that we could reach out and get that little bowl of beans. And whatever that is, you know, you fill in the blank, whatever it is. Whatever that is that I got to have right now, just like Esau. That means so much more than the spiritual and material blessings of God. I'm not talking about anybody here. I was speaking with a young lady this week at work. I don't understand why God's not blessing my life. I pray, I ask God to do this. I said, do you go to church? No, not really. Do you support the Lord's house in any way? No. Do you spend much time with God in prayer or Bible? No, not really. There's no great mystery to me then why God's not blessing your life.
Amen.
I believe God rewards faithfulness. I really do. God rewards faithfulness. But you don't have people that want to be faithful. They want a bowl of beans and they want it right now. I want to reach out and grab God when I need Him and put Him on the back shelf when I don't. And we are to enjoy the things of God right now. We're not to walk around spiritually on an empty gas tank all the time. My God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and that means He can put food on my plate. And I believe every once in a while He might even slap down a good old ribeye steak on that plate. Or whatever it is you meat haters don't eat, or whatever, vegetarians love, whatever you like. He can slap a big cucumber on your plate for all I care. Zucchini or squash or anything else. But we act like Esau when we say, I got to have this, I got to have it now, and you don't realize the cost. Look at what you're giving up for what you're getting. Esau, what are you thinking, man? Look at what you're giving up for a bowl of beans. Giving up a material double portion. Giving up the spiritual blessing of now your name will be pretty well known, not as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but as Abraham, Isaac, and who? Who? Yeah, that twin brother that God says I hated. Yeah. I wonder what you think about me. I'm going to talk about Wally a little bit. He took me up there to that job site one of these days. I've never seen such in my life. Sand, sand, and more sand. I wonder what you think about me if, and I don't. But if I had a big old bag full of diamonds, big old paper bag that's full of diamonds, and I walked in down there to Wally's job site and plopped them diamonds down on the boss man's desk and said, I want to trade this for a bag of sand. What would you think about that? That'd be pretty foolish, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Esau did 10 times worse than that. A million times worse than that. And you know what the truth is? We do a lot of that day by day by day. What if I went down here to Tollison's? It's not Tollison's anymore. I guess I got a new sign put up. I don't know what it is now. But if I went down here to Tollison's, I had, and again, I don't have, but if I had a big brown bag full of golden nuggets, and I plopped it down there on the boss's desk and said, I want to trade this for a few 2x4s. You'd think that'd be pretty foolish, don't you?
Yeah.
And it would be. And then a lot of times we do something just so silly. Because we trade diamonds for dirt all the time. We trade diamonds. We undervalue the spiritual and overvalue the temporal. You hear me? We try to find too much pleasure and satisfaction from the things of the world and not enough contentment and satisfaction in Christ. We reach out here to what I want and what I want right this minute that will appease the flesh and not what's going to benefit me or help me down the road or even after death. I don't do this very often, but this was so well said. I want to read this to you. Matthew Henry said, "It is the greatest folly to part with our interest in God and Christ and heaven for the riches, honors, and pleasures of this world. It is as bad a bargain as his who sold his birthright for a dish of pottage. Esau ate and drank, pleased his palate, satisfied his appetite, and then carelessly rose up, went his way without any serious thought or any regret about the bad bargain he had just made. Thus Esau despised his birthright by neglect and contempt afterwards, and then by justifying his conduct. Saved people can act this way. When we would rather serve our own pleasures than serve our Christ. When we really estimate, do we really think that as a saved person, you'll get more enjoyment out of abandoning the spiritual and turning to the temporal? Dear saint, what is of greater value to you? I'm going to get on you now. Listen to me. I love you. And I'm not trying to spank anybody, but I'm trying to encourage everyone. Because I care about you. I don't want to see you trading diamonds for dirt. I don't want to see you giving away the fullness of Christ for the emptiness and vanity of the things of this world. What are you going to trade today for the things of God? Now, just as sure as I'm standing right here in front of you today, some of you are going to trade your evening service tonight for a bowl of beans. Is that plain enough for you? You're going to trade up that which is spiritual and really important for what? A basketball game? God, I don't want to talk about basketball. I'm a Duke fan, for anybody that's interested. I don't want to talk about basketball. You're going to trade what's really important for what? What leisure? What entertainment? What hobby is of more importance than the being in God's house when you can?
Amen.
You tell me. My dad used to make people mad because he would tell them, you know, people don't like to be told when they're wrong. None of us do. But my dad used to say, you tell me what you've got to do that's so much more important than going to God's house and I'll go with you. I mean, I'm the preacher, but if you got something to do that's more important than this, you let me know. I'll go with you. People act like I just want to get up here and preach because I want to see people in the pews. I do want to see people in the pews, but that's not why I care about you.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
And I don't want to see you go out of here and trade away the spiritual blessing that could be yours for a bowl of beans.
Amen.
That's something here in just a few hours you'll be looking for another one. You know, that's the thing. Old Esau, he ate that big old bowl of beans. I bet they were good too. I mean, I really do. I bet them was good beans. But you know what happened after a little while? He got hungry again.
Yeah.
But he didn't have any inheritance then to trade. Now listen, let me just say, I know some of you are elderly and older and you can't do. I understand that. And I know some of you work. I know some of you, you're sick. I know this. And I'm not beating up or knocking down if you can't. God knows your heart and that's what matters. A lot of people, they want to trade a bowl of beans for Wednesday night service. I get to preaching here in a little while.
Amen, brother. Preach.
Huh? You want to trade a bowl of beans for a video game. Now I'll do some preaching. Think that's more important than what's going on right now? This is life and death we're dealing with up here. It's not a game. People want to trade nothing that means nothing for what? All right, I know. I had a preacher friend of mine. Who's encouraged the church to begin Wednesday night service. They had stopped having it. He's now encouraged them to begin Wednesday night service again. But there's a problem. Problem is, he didn't realize he's going to have to compete with baseball, softball, basketball, football. I won't say fishing because I like fish, but whatever it is, that's more important than the house of God. Now, I try to be practical, and sometimes there are scheduling conflicts. I'll say it politely. But you're going to have to make a decision of what's more important to you, diamonds or dirt.
Amen, brother.
You're going to have to make up your mind. There we go, preacher. Some of you trade a bowl of dirt for Sunday school. You know how these people get up and study? They work jobs, they get and they study and they prepare for this, and you won't get out of bed an hour early and come to God's house. Now, I'm not mad now. I love you.
Preach it, brother.
Would you rather enjoy your bowl of beans or come and dine at the king's banquet?
Amen.
I can go right down the list. We're going to trade amusement for prayer, recreation for Bible reading. And I speak to my own heart. What's more important to you? Look at it. I'm serious. Look at it and ask. God knows your heart whether you can or you can't. Now, that's the truth. And God knows whether or not you'd rather be in His Word. I'll just put it to you like this. I have a good friend of mine. He's a good friend. He's one of those good friends I only talk to about once a year. That's the good kind. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I have a good friend. And he always wants me to get on the online and play this game with him. I don't even know what it is. Tells me about how fun it is and how... Listen, I already got too many things that distract me from the things of God.
Amen.
I don't need another one. I just wonder sometimes about that eternal treasure in heaven. Sitting in that old room full that could be ours is sitting there vacant and empty for what? For what? And then most, and I close with this, any lost person, anybody who does not know Christ is playing the fool. They'd rather enjoy the pleasures of this sin for a season than they had the treasures of Christ forever. They would trade their own soul for what? Trade their own soul for what? Well, you just don't know how much I enjoy this. And I know that if I got right with the Lord and I was one of them saved people and I knew I trusted Christ, I'd have to give that up. And I guarantee whatever that is not worth your soul.
That's right, brother.
It's not worth your soul. But yet we see men and women day in and day out who play the fool like Esau. And give away the birthright that could be theirs as a child of God. For what? A paltry bowl of beans. Well, Jacob the deceiver deceived. And Esau despised his birthright and he gave it up. But I've got good news. Christ was faithful.
Amen.
He was not deceived when that old devil tried to tempt him. Devil took him up into a mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And he said to him, I'll give you all of this if you'll bow down and worship me. Christ said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
There wasn't no bad bargains made by our Lord. He remained faithful. He did not give up what was his, but he abided faithful in it. When tested and tempted, he remained faithful. Our Christ birthright is still His own. And the great joy that I have in that is I get to be a joint heir with Him.
Amen.
Because of His faithfulness, I get to enjoy some of that portion that's His.